This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, How Buildings Impact Our Lives. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Hospitals should be built in such a way that they can keep functioning in all kinds of conditions, including extreme weather, to continue to serve patients. But can you build hospitals to withstand even the strongest storms? What does it take? Reporter Jad Slayman looked into that.
Texas Medical Center in Houston is the world's largest medical complex. It has its own skyline. Dozens of buildings, 106,000 employees, caring for some 10 million patients a year. Back in 2001, it was in the path of a tropical storm, Allison. And at first, folks didn't really think that was such a big deal.
We have tropical storms all the time on the Gulf Coast, and it's lots of rain and some minor street flooding, and it goes away.
That's Claire Bassett, Chief Communications Officer at the Baylor College of Medicine. Baylor is basically the nucleus of the medical center.
It was just, oh, it's another tropical storm. It's going to be a wet weekend. It'll be over and done with.
But day after day, Allison's heavy rains simply did not stop. And Texas Medical Center was in trouble. High waters got into a tunnel system, flooded multiple buildings. Patients were evacuated and hospitals closed down. Claire made her way to the medical school the day after the rains finally subsided.
So our entire sub-basement was submerged.
That's the floor below the basement.
And then 5 feet of the floor above that. And we had the vast majority of our animal research was in our sub-basement.
In what's called a vivarium, basically cages, animals with their food and bedding and scientific equipment.
We actually had a cow. We had rabbits, we had canines, and all of the large animals were able to be led up to a higher floor by one of our animal care attendants who had waded through chest-deep water to get here.
He somehow led the cow up 2 flights of stairs.
And this gentleman who I'd never met before walked up to me and said, "I just put a cow in the ladies' room." I said, "Okay, that's great. Did you put a sign on the door?"
He had not. Slipped his mind somehow.
So we put signage on the door, and he said, "Is it okay if I put dogs and pigs in a vacant conference room and a vacant office?"
So cows, dogs, pigs, all in the clear. The research mice were not so lucky. Claire sent me pictures of the room just after crews got in. You see stacks of these plastic cages, 4 high, all filled with foggy water. In some, you see blurry little white things. Floating.
So we lost about 30,000 research mice.
30,000. Many of them bred over several generations as part of genetic studies. They also lost a bank of breast cancer tissues with 25 years worth of samples.
And our losses exceeded $300 million.
Years of medical science washed away. But things could have been much worse. The nightmare scenario, losing patients during a crisis, was avoided. But that wasn't the case in New Orleans after Katrina. Management and urban planning researchers Lucy Arndt and David Hess traveled there in 2005, just after the storm.
I mean, just catastrophic damage. I mean, it was quite, we wore masks as we walked about the neighborhoods.
The city was still closed off when they arrived.
And it was bizarre in that it was bright and sunny the whole time that we were there. On top of, so bright and sunny and all of this death, basically, around us. Decay, high water marks, vehicles that had been abandoned, vehicles in trees.
Their mission was to go hospital to hospital to see what went wrong and what went right.
So hospitals, in general, are incredibly complex organizations, far more so than most other types of organizations, in that hospitals typically, at least acute care hospitals, tend to be just like communities.
During extreme weather, these complex little communities have 2 choices, neither very good. There's shelter in place, essentially ride out the storm, or evacuate, which David says is even more dangerous.
Worst case scenario for hospital administrators is to think about a complete evacuation and having to move everybody.
But New Orleans hospitals simply weren't built for Katrina's wrath. They buckled.
At Memorial, at Lindy Bar, I mean, one after the other, it was the same story over and over. It was just this thing out of some horror movie.
If Memorial sounds familiar, it's because dozens of patients died there. Healthcare workers were accused of euthanizing some amid desperate conditions.
The hospitals became very unsafe places to be. In fact, one hospital administrator's recollection of the hospital following Hurricane Katrina is that it was like a war zone inside.
Both researchers say New Orleans was especially vulnerable, but that doesn't mean hospitals elsewhere are safe. With climate change driving more frequent and more intense storms, experts say more hospital systems have to be better able to essentially batten down the hatches.
You know, hospitals from outside of the Gulf area learning the lessons of Katrina, well, in the past, they might not have thought, oh yeah, that might relate to us, but it is becoming pretty self-evident, I think, that in fact those lessons are increasingly relevant to more hospitals.
Superstorm Sandy, for instance, shut down New York City's Bellevue Hospital in 2012 after basement fuel pumps flooded. The National Guard stepped in to help staff run fuel and water before finally evacuating everyone. Lucy says hospitals typically reach their breaking points when they lose either power or water, and the engineering that could help ensure that doesn't happen is incredibly expensive, especially in the context of a hospital.
And when you start talking about changing a building, a hospital structure, for example, we start talking millions of dollars. And in a climate where healthcare costs are already considered pretty extraordinary, starting to talk to people about the need to modify a building so that we can be better prepared for something that may never happen, that can be a pretty tough sell.
But back in Houston, after Allison, preparedness wasn't such a tough sell anymore.
If you look over there and see that line right over there? This was filled with 33 feet of water when Tropical Storm Allison occurred. So you can actually see the line right there, the tide line. I had them specifically do not pressure wash that line off. See it over there?
That's Robert Emery, a.k.a. Safety Bob. He's a professor of occupational health in charge of risk management at the University of Texas Health Science Center. It's part of the Texas Medical Center, and he's pointing to residue left on a building by floodwaters 18 years ago. When he talks about Allison, he repeats a curious phrase.
So, we got religion.
He means the storm taught everyone a lesson, to respect a kind of higher power.
Where we are sitting right now, literally, you could look that way and that way. This is 185,000 square feet, and you could see all the way through, because all of this was cut out. All the walls, all the doors, everything, because it was all underwater.
He's in the basement of the McGovern Medical School, again, part of the Texas Medical Center. It was once the largest state-owned building in Texas.
Ceiling collapse, all that stuff, right? So, I mean, it was huge. It was actually a sobering experience to get down on your hands and knees, and you could look from one end of this building to the other.
They weren't going to get caught off guard again. Bob outlines the engineering built up in the years after Allison. First, a moat.
If you were looking out from overhead with a drone, you would see that there's actually, again, almost like a reverse moat around the entire building.
He's talking about a hydrostatic wall, about 7 feet tall, a mix of granite and a half inch of glass.
This glass is actually glass like an aquarium. And so if you can hear how thick it is, it's like SeaWorld.
And outside of that, an earthen berm. There's pumps in this reverse moat to get rid of any water that makes it over. But then, even if all that fails...
I guess the best way to describe it is think of a bank vault door, and there's four of them, and they're 16 feet high.
There's nearly two dozen of these flood doors just around McGovern in various sizes.
But one person, they're actually balanced in such a way that one person can actually move them and swing them and then put them into place.
Some pins lock into place... A pump inflates rubber seals. Safety Bob is constantly drilling his staff on how to do this, and not long ago, they were put to the test.
Torrential rain, people rescued from flooded homes, volunteers with...
Hurricane Harvey. It beat out Allison for total rainfall, devastated the region. But at the Texas Medical Center buildings...
So maybe 6 inches of water in this loading dock area compared to 33 feet of water in the past.
33 feet with Allison, 6 inches with Harvey. The engineering worked. In fact, the only major problem was getting staff to and from these relatively dry little islands amid a flooded Houston. Bob's team is working on a solution to that, too.
So we now have those two, I forgot the military name for them, but it's like a deuce and a half or something like that. But it's these two huge military trucks.
They're military surplus M35 2.5-ton cargo trucks, about 9 feet tall, so good in high water. The staff named them
Laverne and Shirley.
And the research animals, like generators and critical mechanicals, they're now kept safely on upper floors. Claire, the communications officer who described returning to the chaos at Baylor following Allison, set up shop at the TMC before Harvey hit.
You bring a nice air mattress and you bring water boots and you bring a couple of changes of clothes.
She didn't see some Texas NOAA leading animals out of a flood. Instead, she walked the mostly dry halls checking for broken glass. Harvey shut down other outpatient facilities outside the medical center. Claire remembers cancer patients worrying about how they'd get their regular treatments. But as soon as the roads were clear enough for them to get to the Texas Medical Center, they found it was ready for them.
Yeah, we were able to get our infusion patients in. And when we went and saw them, I guess 3 days after the storm is when we opened it, there were people literally in tears. They were so thankful.
That story was reported by Jad Slayman. Elizabeth Troval of Houston Public Media contributed to the story.